Hi, it's Rallo, your vet fan. You're about to listen to an episode of our podcast. Neat! Did you know you can financially support the Guild via both Anchor Support and Patreon? That's right, you can help us do more cool stuff like this episode you're about to listen to. To support us on Anchor, go to anchor.fm/calamitouspodcast/support or go to patreon.com/guildpodcast. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the episode.
Incoming Guild transmission. Code Lima Alpha Mike Bravo Echo Romeo Tango. Welcome to the Guild of Calamitous podcast.
Hello. I'm Rylo, I'm your vet fan.
I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan.
And this is Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast.
It's solstice today.
Is it? It's solstice, yes.
Yeah, it's solstice, so it's the longest night of the year, of the second longest year of our goddamn lives.
2022.0.
No, 2022.0 is coming, it's coming in a couple days.
Shut up. No.
Too late.
Get out.
But we are all here. We're getting into the Christmas spirit.
We're Christmas is already done by the time you're listening to this, but that, you know, doesn't mean shit because people keep their Christmas lights up until after New Year's.
I'm not having one of my Christmases until January, so you know.
It's how it works.
It's how it do. So, if you are still waiting on celebrating, happy holidays to you, my friend.
And if you're not,
happy holidays regardless.
And I hope you got something good.
Even if that's like some really bomb socks, because as an adult,
some really good socks are always nice.
Like really nice socks.
And it's also our second Christmas doing this.
Oh, God. That's a terrifying idea.
So, we got that going for us. At least we're almost done. We're almost to the end of season 6.
That's and then we even just more got terrifying.
One more to go.
That's even more terrifying. I don't want it to be over.
Yeah, I know. Because then you have to deal with what happens next. But now, we're still comfortably ensconced in the lunar eclipse of today's episode.
Yes, we are.
Which is A Party for Tarzan. Named, fun fact, because Christopher Lambert, who is a key player in today's episode, played Tarzan at one point, along with Highlander.
It's such a thing that he's like, yes, we're going to throw a party. For a guy who played Tarzan.
Party for Tarzan. Written by Doc Hammer, and may I add, possibly his magnum opus. I know I said that about Orb, but this is next level, the writing.
This is magnum opus .2.
Yeah, this is magnum opus revised. Directed by Jackson Publick with the original air date of March 13th, 2016. Its episode number is 70. Our cast of characters and voice cast for today's episode are as follows. James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture and Phantom Limb. Chris McCulloch as Hank Venture, the Monarch. Pete White, Dr. Z, Dragoon, and Action Man. Doc Hammer as Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, Henchman 21, Billy Queasboy, Red Mantle, and Ward. Paul F. Tompkins returning as Blue Morpho, Turnbuckle and Dr. Heine. Hal Lublin as Wide Whale and the Wandering Spider. And Mark Gagliardi as Enzo and Monarch Henchman.
So this is kind of a wild one.
Yeah. So I debated how to go about this. Because it is a mess to talk about. Because you're dealing with four different point of views at once.
Yeah.
It's keeping all of those plates juggling. So
and keeping them all straight.
And the narration, you know, it's very Goodfellas-esque.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, that's what I think of when I think of narration like this, is I think, oh, Goodfellas. Which is a great movie if you've not seen it. It's fantastic.
Do recommend it.
So I divided it up into four parts when thinking of talking points. Let's see if we keep to that as we get into it. The episode opens with Dr. Mrs. the Monarch shooting Dr. Venture with Wide Whale in her ear, whispering about how he will kill her husband. And Rusty is dressed as the Blue Morpho. What follows is flashbacks for the day. So we're doing that.
Yep.
And an incredulous Henchman 21 saying, yeah, I know. Crazy, right? Yeah. How did this happen?
How did this happen, indeed?
First off, we learned some 21 backstory. We always knew that he's joined the Monarch henchmen as a young teen. But we find out more. He was kidnapped on his Washington trip in eighth grade. Because the henchmen thought he was Senator Nighthorse Campbell, who really did dress like that. And so...
And suddenly they've got a kid.
And so suddenly they have an eighth grader.
Yeah, they have a kid.
And I gotta admit, it's pretty genius, Monarch's plan to make the Venture name illegal.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
That's the solid thwart.
I mean, you know, destroy the marketing immediately. There goes literally whatever money he had trickling in.
Which is not much because he blew most of his inheritance right away. Right away.
But, you know, whatever he had left from, like, merch sales and stuff, you know, it's gone.
Which can't be much because when... Billy brought over the Rusty Venture Show DVD in Orb. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know why I have not seen any money from these.
Somebody failed to look over those contracts properly.
Yeah. Also, it's super fun to see the Monarch crew in the outfits that the... These are the outfits. These fuzzy, awful, ugly.
Plush.
Plush. These ugly as sin butterfly outfits.
I think they're amazing in a very specific way.
They're ugly. These are some ugly. There's a reason they changed.
They're kind of cute.
When they got picked up for a series, there's a reason the costume changed.
I think it's kind of cute.
But this is what the Monarch originally in the pilot wore, as well as his henchmen. And also, I like that he's getting back in the game. He's venturing back out there. He's going to thwart Dr. Heine, who is well known for his hemorrhoid removal.
That's such a good name.
For an ass doctor.
Yes.
For a proctologist, Dr. Heine. It's a good thwart.
Heinrich von Heine, yes.
And it's at that point, after we discover he's Monarch is going to harnch Dr. Heine, that we switch point of views to Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. And we learn all about what the guild has begun to do to try to stop Blue Morpho.
And just kind of keep themselves floating, safe. Quite honestly.
Yeah. They assemble a group of the 5.5. The 0.5 being Watch and Ward, who have to sit at a kitty table because they're not actual council members. But which is petty.
But they're also the only two goddamn employees the guild has.
Right. And you know Phantom Lim is the one who
insisted on the kitty table.
Insisted they have a separate table.
No, that they're
a 0.5.
That means that individually they're 0.25.
Which they're worth more than that. Watch and Ward are worth more than
that. They're worth so much more than that. They're worth 10.
And we learned some more about the past with the Blue Morpho. In 1976, the bounty for the Blue Morpho was claimed. Which lines up, of course, to the year that the Monarch
was orphaned.
Parents were in that plane crash in the Pine Barrens.
But somebody offed him.
Somebody offed him. I wrote it as he's an underling for himself, but Blue Morpho is more of an underling to Jonas than we thought.
I could see that.
And we get more into this at the beginning of next season, just how much of a grip that Jonas had on the Blue Morpho. Because it was significant.
Okay.
And also, can we discuss Dr. Z's
talking about his night with the Blue Morpho?
Yeah. Yeah. He disguised himself as a woman, and he did it so well that
it was indeed a night.
You know, he couldn't tell that it was a man. He had no idea. He had sex with every orifice. His words.
The use of the word orifice. Any use. He accidentally made
tender but passionate love to the Blue Morpho.
God, which we now also know is Monarch's father.
And it's fun to point out the fact that it was Billie Jean King.
Ah, yes. Obviously. I would be having sexual intercourse with Billie Jean King.
Yeah. Well, it's Z. He's
very, very nostalgic for his night of passion.
Well, he's overly nostalgic of that, how he accidentally made tender but passionate love to the Blue Morpho.
It's the way that he describes it.
And it's the fact that he has a crazy past, so it makes sense that, of course, he slept
with the Blue
Billie
Jean. To be fair, that
Blue Morpho dresses Billie Jean King.
Yeah. It's like, there's so much of that moment that I'm just like, what the fuck? Next level.
And it's because of that experience he realized that Blue Morpho would do anything for the Venture family. So if they're going to get answers on who... including dressing up like Billie Jean King. And
that is...
having...
That is dedication.
Tender sex with Dr. Z.
That is dedication. That is perseverance.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they think that, oh, we should go see Jonas's son. That's who we need to look at. Because if they want answers, that's where it be. And we switch POVs again. This time to... to Doc. He's planning a big party. And we get a flashback to a few nights prior where Billy and White went to a swank ass party that dear Gloria invited them to.
There's always Gloria.
There's always a Gloria.
That's there are some things like you could always guarantee that there's going to be someone with that name there. Jennifer
at a swank Ashley. at a swank ass party or something.
Oh yeah, Gloria could, definitely.
There's got to be a Gloria
or an Evelyn.
Yeah, and he has decided he needs a better suit.
I mean, that's fair,
because if not, he's going to look like a dork in front of the one person he ended up making a connection with that night. That's right.
Christopher Lambert.
It's Lambert.
Yeah.
Chris. Chris. His friends call him Chris. Which, it, like, of all of the ridiculous sort of out there celebrities that
they could have plucked, yeah.
And the fact that he has a really swank ass speed suit.
Oh yeah.
From Enzo that is called the Patriarch.
Of course he would.
It lights up. It has amazing. It has LEDs that spell out Lambert on the breast. It's so good.
It's a thing of beauty.
So good. The Patriarch is so good. Like, I love how all of these speed suits have names. Like, that's one of the, like, continuing things that I constantly enjoy is him going to Enzo to get these speed suits that have the Ambassador,
yeah,
the Patriarch.
It's so beautiful.
And he, while being super smart, steals from the Swiss bank of protagonist and antagonist outfits. And the outfit he steals is the Blue Morpho outfit in there for some tailoring and cleaning.
Of course. To be fair, you know, suits get dirty. Of course there would be a vault of them.
Yeah. And
like, that makes sense.
It's super hush hush. Enzo is a tight-lipped individual.
Yeah, Enzo is one of the only reliable people in this whole show.
And it's Enzo. That's it. Only reliable person is Enzo.
But constantly reliable. Like,
consistently. He would keep your secrets.
Enzo would die for your secrets.
Enzo would die before spilling your secrets.
I love Enzo.
I love Enzo and Enzo's old cat. I love them both.
It's the combination.
I wonder if he butters his cat.
No. That's illegal. You are not allowed to butter your coworkers.
Butter.
We've been on the Jorts discourse for like a week now.
Which, if any of our listeners haven't been following it,
please look up the Jorts discourse.
Look up Jorts the cat.
It's
You'll
beautiful.
Find it.
It's beautiful.
You'll find it, and it is something else.
It's amazing. But what's a party without decorations?
What's a party without decorations? What is a party without decorations? Especially really bad ones.
I mean, you mean like our prom?
Yeah, like our prom. Nice going, Billy and Pete.
I tried.
Billy's already drunk.
I mean, that tracks. He's kind of a lightweight.
He's so tiny.
I know.
The Monarch is leaving to thwart Dr. Heine, and then we switch POVs again to the Monarch, and we learn about arching levels and EMAs. Okay. So this is lore that we've fooled around with for a while, but never have really gotten a clear explanation of.
Yeah.
Your arching level is decided by your crew, your artillery, and how they all come together in a fight.
Mm-hmm. Are you effective?
Are you effective against this other person?
As people do say, it is not the motion. It is not the size of the boat, but the motion of the ocean.
Yeah. And it is about equally matched aggression levels. That is what an arching level is.
I mean,
and
we have Brock.
If we have Brock.
Can you handle a Samson?
Then, okay, you can arch Dr. Venture. But EMA started with a fucking turnbuckle, the worst fucking villain to go against Jonas Venture.
Oh, God.
Because he has no weapons. He was fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gets fucking reamed by Action Man and eventually killed.
Well,
and
yeah,
they were not equally matched aggression levels, clearly. So they set up this arching level EMA system to make sure that people in the guild union didn't get killed.
Constantly.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it also explains, you know, why Monarch's not a 10. He's a 4. Because he doesn't have a car. He has Metro.
He has 21 and...
And the New Jersey PATH train.
Yeah.
That's it. He doesn't have a cocoon or a flying car anymore. It's all gone.
Or hordes of henchmen.
I mean, he has Manolo and Manolo's crew.
But he's just got Manolo.
He really just has Manolo. I don't think everyone else is on board.
No, I think it's just Manolo and 21, really.
Yeah. We switch again to Dr. Mrs. and Dr. Z. They are talking in the Monarch kitchen, and Dr. Z is really pressuring Dr. Mrs. to act without discussing it with the 5.5. It is just a bunch of old villains acting like old villains.
Which, like, okay, without... yeah, that stands with, you know, Dr. Z, you know. I can see that.
Yeah. They're just, don't talk about it, just do it.
Not everything can be decided in committee.
And she gives into it. They go to Wide Wales.
I mean, to be fair, currently
presumably shoot who they think is Blue Morpho.
Currently he is a threat, so, or at least in their head.
Yeah.
No one will be safe.
Meanwhile, Henchman 21 is kidnapping Wandering Spider and taking the a page out of the Ted Bundy kidnapping book with the arm and needing assistance.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Ted Bundy famously had crutches and slings and different fake things to gain him sympathy.
Please, can you come help me move this? My arm is all broken and I can't do that.
And then he would
I am Ted Bundy.
I am Ted Bundy. And you have made a horrible mistake. See what kindness gets you? And we find out that 21 really hasn't killed anyone on purpose.
No?
It's all sort of circumstantial. Like, he shot the boys on accident.
And besides, they came back.
And they came back at the end of season one. That was an accident when he shot them. He didn't mean to kill Harangutan.
Oops.
He didn't mean to kill Good Vibrations, which was his first kill. That was him earning his wings. It's all just sort of happened, and he's never really done it.
He's never gone in with the intention.
This is the first time he's having to actually follow through with the act.
On purpose.
on purpose.
Yes.
But not until after he gets shot with a nerve dart right in his, like, leg, his upper thigh.
That's going to end pleasantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor guy.
A little bit of a nappy nap.
Meanwhile, Monarch is thwarting Dr. Jaime and sending many pics to Dr. Mrs. to make sure she knows exactly where he is and what he's doing.
He's off.
To cover his ass.
Yes. Well, 21's off doing the deed.
Yeah. Doing the deed on Wandering Spider. And Doc ends up in a bit of a sticky situation at his Eclipse party. First of all, Christopher Lambert never shows up.
Oops.
And he didn't invite anyone else. And notably, Billy says, did you invite your mom or someone? Did you invite the Carfax Fox?
God.
While drunk. While he is...
He's plastered.
Shit-faced.
7 sheets to the wind.
Yeah. And he teaches Hank how to make a ruddy bottom while...
Which is an awful drink.
The villains across the street discuss in front of a sniper rifle. The ruddy bottom. That is an assault on all senses. All of it.
It's just pure grenadine.
It's grenadine and tomato juice and rum. It is awful. It is the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. It is offensive and
truly Doc heinous.
Should feel bad for birthing it.
They're not supposed to actually be drank.
I know, but that doesn't stop people from making them.
It's a terrible decision. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Learn from my mistakes and the mistakes of others, and don't make dog tails.
Just don't.
But it's a learning moment and a bonding moment for Hank to learn how to make a dog tail.
So yeah, it's an important moment, you know. He's being passed on knowledge. It's not good knowledge. It's not good knowledge, but it is knowledge.
Yeah. Of course, Billy knocks over the ruddy bottom, covering Doc in grenadine, making it seem like he is covered in blood.
Of course.
Because it is a lot of grenadine. It's a lot of grenadine and tomato juice.
Yeah, that's just going to turn into
a blood-like substance.
Something like that. As someone who's experienced in using a lot of the theatrical blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess.
The syrupiness of grenadine mixed with like a tomato.
Oh yeah, that would just turn into this disgusting.
It is a thickness. There is a,
it's a thickness.
There is a consistency that is not dissimilar from like a clot of blood.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good for horror movies. Do not ingest.
Do not ingest. But he goes out. He makes the mistake of going out to see the eclipse on the balcony where the villains can see him while wearing these eclipsium, according to Pete and Billy, eclipsium coated hat and mask that make him look exactly like the Blue Morpho.
Just which, happenstance. Again,
yeah, it's just happenstance, which again, keep in mind just how much he does look like the Blue Morpho.
Yeah, no, it's disturbing.
Because we'll get back to that. And across the street, they decide to shoot to kill.
Yeah, no time like the present.
While Wandering Spider is leaving a long voicemail message about how he's being killed by the Blue Morpho out in the Pine Barrens. And while the Monarch is sending photos of his hiney thwart.
All happening concurrently.
And we get this really lovely ending speech as this slow-mo bullet is headed straight across from Tophet Tower to Ventec. Sometimes you do something and you know that second you'll regret it for the rest of your life. But you had to make that choice. You saw no other way. You're a tiny part of a big machine. And you feel small, like you don't matter. But it's so beautiful, you're okay with it. Which is masterful.
Oh,
arty. It's art. It's art. That and it's split between three different speakers. Dr. Biss's 21 and Dr. Venture. The blast lands Doc flat on his back where we saw him at the beginning of the episode, supposedly covered in blood.
Yes, but which we now know is just grenadine and tomato juice.
And while that, when that happens, no one cares. His friends, Pete's busy helping Billy vomit up everything. His kids are busy. Brock's over with Warriana getting pegged.
Hey, we stand.
And Helper is looking at the problem light, which is now in Ventec Tower. And I want you to remember that.
I saw that. I'm like, no.
I need you to remember that. Looking at the problem light, because that is a huge
thing.
Huge thing that it's going to be a big reveal. But don't worry, he didn't get killed. It's the Blue Morpho's coat. And
it's bulletproof.
It's bulletproof. It's covered in Kevlar.
Fun fact. Kevlar fact. Yeah. So I was looking around for carbon fiber fabric for a completely unrelated project, but I found out that you can just buy Kevlar.
Yeah, you can. You can just buy it.
By the roll. By the, like, 50-yard roll. But the trick is that it takes so much of that fabric to be bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's like something like 32 layers of Kevlar fabric.
Yeah.
So that's a ridiculous coat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the whole outfit's ridiculous to be bulletproof. But it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon. Yeah.
But like, it's also just the fact that you could just buy Kevlar.
And it takes Dr. Mrs. not even a few minutes to realize the mistake she made. Because not only does she have a voicemail from Wandering Spider getting killed in the Pine Barrens, but also all the photos of her husband, and they're all happening at the same time, so that's not the Blue Morpho.
So it's not Dr. Venture. It's supposedly not her husband.
And she still manages to sneak in, and I told you so, even though she was all for it. 21's not going to be the same.
No, 21's not doing okay.
Wandering Spider.
Our boy's not okay.
But it's his job.
Yeah.
So Monarch's like, who cares? And Dr. Venture was so embarrassed because it was a stolen suit that he thought something in the pocket exploded. He didn't think he was hit by a bullet.
Yeah.
He returned it to Enzo and had to pay for the Monarch's tailoring.
Lol.
And the Monarch is in the clear. This is what you call a happy ending.
Debatable, but...
And the song that plays at the end during the end credits has been sort of adopted by Venture fans and is a favorite, and it's a catchy tune called Ding Ding by James Knight and Daniel Ferrant. And like some other music found in the show, when they do more sort of cinematic-y episodes like this, and Everybody Comes to Hanks.
Yep.
It could be found in the Turner Library, and it's way harder to find outside of the Turner Library than it should be. It is on YouTube. You can listen to a full song on YouTube. Some diligent Venture fan
has put
uploaded
it,
and it's out there. You can find it really easily. And our end credits scene, we find out that Christopher Lambert has he tried to attend the party. He's locked outside of Ventec.
Poor boy.
And is trying to get in. And that's the end of A Party for Tarzan.
It's a ride.
Like I said, Doc Hammer's magnum opus. Like, it really shows how the writing's grown in the
show.
Like, they couldn't have done something like this in even, like, season four, I don't think.
No, it needed all this, like, backstory and lore to come to fruition.
Yeah.
Because I think that without all of the affection that we have for these characters and the emotional changes that happen in this episode in particular, it wouldn't hit as hard. Like, Dr. Mrs. the Monarch realizing that she has to trust her husband, or 21 going, you know, not having a good time.
Or thinking at the beginning of the episode, oh, well, shit, someone killed Doc.
Yeah.
It does. It takes, I think, without the emotional connection that we have sort of grown to feel for these characters, a lot of this sort of last two seasons worth of content wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't hit as well. And you also wouldn't appreciate some of the, like, the things that they have turned into the lore of the show, like the suits being made and named by Enzo.
Yeah, like the fact that they exist and Enzo is this Swiss bank of protagonists and antagonists.
That he is the only one.
Outfitters, and we stan. Yeah, it's weird. It's, I don't know if you can call it, like, is it parasocial? Because I also think that's why it hit so hard when the show was canceled.
Yeah.
Because the last season ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, and it's about characters that we care deeply about.
I think parasocial is the correct term for that, but do not quote me on that.
But yeah, I don't know if it's the correct term for fictional characters. Because I know it's the correct term for, like, celebrities.
Yeah, but so you feel something for characters that we grew up with, that you specifically grew up with.
Yeah, which, you know, I think is why, like, saying when we all found out last September that the show was canceled,
there was such an uprising.
And
you were distraught.
I was genuinely upset because the show doesn't end nicely without a proper ending like we're getting, which we haven't given a movie news update in a long time.
Yes,
that is my fault. Why I'm gonna end this episode with that.
End it on a high note.
So the movie is officially entering the drawing stage. We know this because Titmouse is hiring a character designer as soon as possible who can draw good and draw venture. And I believe it's remote. It seems like it's a remote job. Like, I don't think you have to be in LA. So if the job opening is still posted, we shared it. It would be worth checking out, all of you venture fartists who want to get in to animation. It could be your breaks. It sounds like they want people who can draw venture already.
Not just that, but also people. Yeah, that can be your little contribution to a show that you loved.
Yeah. James Urbaniak recently finished his final recording session for Dr. Venture. And Doc shared a while ago that he was recording in New York with Jackson and Stephen Ratazzi, who does Orpheus.
So we know Orpheus is probably involved.
We know Orpheus is coming back, which is good. I'm hoping we get the whole triad back for one last
hooray.
Hurrah. Yeah. I feel like we will. Because you can't just bring Orpheus back. You gotta bring off. In. Yeah, and especially since he has his Doctor Strange house now.
Yeah. which we will get to.
Which we will get to. And Doc was shared a photo of him recording Shore Leave's line. So we're going to get Shore Leave.
I'm excited.
So I think that it just means that they're bringing the crowd together to try to finish this off.
Proper.
In the best way they can in the short amount of time they're given.
I think they'll find a way.
Yeah, I think this will turn out to be a really nice goodbye. And I know Doc says it's a special, and it repeatedly says it's a special. But I bet it's going to be 90 minutes or something. I bet it won't be like, you know, prom or something like that. That was only like 40. Or Gargantua 2, which was like 60 minutes. I think it'll be a proper film type thing. And I think that we'll probably see it. Possibly even the end of this next year.
Hopefully. As long as, you know, things go according to plan.
As long as things go according to plan and they find that character designer that they need ASAP.
Oh, yeah.
Next time you listen to us, we are finishing off the sixth season before a brief hiatus in January. We're going to be giving you Red Means Stop. Final episode of season 6, and before we take, and we'll be taking a little hiatus for a few weeks for giving you guys the final season. As always, follow us on all of our social media, because we've been posting a lot. We've been sharing our favorite of the Venture Christmas songs, and yeah, end it like we always do.
I think we shall.
Go Team Venture. We love you guys.
Have a great night.